Okay, Alan, you have our undivided attention.
I gather you don't want the 30-minute introduction to the paper today, is that right? Research Programme Project Priorities. So this is paper 8, and I'm going to give just a little bit of context in here and one example and then open it up. But essentially the background is, having switched over and put slightly more emphasis on the research aspects and thinking about defining a problem, we added in what looks like almost like a very big and ambitious research programme in 2012. And depending on when you do the count, though, I think there are 14 projects, according to the paper, if you count macro hedging as being at least in a DP phase, and 15 if you count yesterday in terms of thinking about performance reporting. So what we have is a rather large list. The idea of this paper is to identify how we might go about setting priorities for that. It's particularly important now rather than think as we start to progress the program, because we've got all of these projects starting off almost from scratch at the time. Which ones we start to develop in a particular way? So what I've emphasised in the paper is that there's a few things. One is the due process handbook tells us when a project's actually worth looking at. So there are the criteria for when we actually should undertake a particular project, and tells us how to get it from the research program onto a standards level program, but it doesn't tell us anything about prioritising. And that was deliberate that we didn't have anything in there, because as a note in the paper, if we'd said, well, we're a global standard setter, so it should give priority to global standard issues as opposed to local issues, we'd almost never get a local issue up on the agenda. And I think during the agenda consultation, when we raised this as an issue, people were quite comfortable that we have the flexibility, provided we just explain why we're giving priority to particular projects, for example. And I think it's up to you to work out whether you want to, in a particular time, to have perhaps, as we have done over the last few years, given more emphasis to maintenance, for example, or picked up some issues that national standards have brought to us, like the agricultural issue and so on. So I think you should think about this as being a portfolio of projects, and you might want to have some big ones and some small ones, and this is really what we're trying to prioritise here. What I've suggested is that we have three main things that I think should drive, and I'll sort of summarise these in terms of demand, the impact, and timeliness. And the way to think about it is, if there's high demand for a project, it's going to have a big change, for example, removing a known diversity in practice, and we can do it quickly. They sound like the projects you would actually give higher priority to. You might have another project, for example, that's still equally important, but might take you much longer to accomplish. And something like the extractive activities, I think, is one where we've got a known gap. So in some ways, the demand is there because there's a known gap, but it's not people knocking down our doors saying that we actually ought to bring in a standard. And in some cases, they can be quite long processes, because I think in the case of extractive activities, it's fairly well embedded practice, but it's diverse. And it takes quite a time for us to bring people along on some projects like that. And it's quite complex as well. So, as I said, I've indicated, and we've gone through each of the projects and looked at what sort of demand there is. And demand can come from particular parties. In the case of BISCOM under common control, for example, IOSCO have asked us to look at some particular transactions. The Emerging Economies Group have asked us to look at some transactions. So there seems to be quite strong demand from some important parties. In terms of impact, you look at something about getting rid of known diversity in practice, and in case of timeliness, can you get these things done? So I've ended up doing is putting in page 10, it's in paragraph 36.
Oh, 10, yes.
An outline of what I think we ought to do, and that is, we've got what I call shorter term projects. These are things where we ought to be aiming for what I call a major milestone within the next year or so. And that might be a discussion paper, or it could be a recommendation that we do no more work, for example, on a project. So the five that would be shorter term, leading to a discussion paper with in 2015, would be BISCOM under common control, the disclosure initiative, which has got several other threads as well, equity method, financial instruments with the characteristics of equity, and rate regulation. And rate regulation is going to be out as a DP in Q3 anyway, so they're the shorter term.
Do you think we can do something on equity in the first year?
It depends on the scope, and I think that's this is one of the dilemmas we have, is that with any of these projects, you kind of sometimes you just don't know how long it's going to take and how much whether you can do something in a timely way. So you almost have to sort of say, right, we need to put a fast burst in now, do a few months' work out what the scope is, get a little bit of feedback on the nature of the problem, and then you might come back and reprioritise and say, you know what, the equity method, we can do something quickly on that, or it could be this is a really big issue and we put it down into a longer term. So I think you've got to be very careful with these. Just because it's on a shorter term initiative doesn't mean that it's going to go all the way to the end. Some of these are actually trying to find out. And an example of that perhaps is discount rates, because I've got that identified as one where the outcome's less certain. People have told us that there are inconsistencies in discount rates. It's not clear to me that we have a real problem. We certainly have a perception. And it might be that the research ends up documenting and putting a catalogue of the use of discount rates, and that in fact we actually have discount rates that are consistent with the objective in each standard, and as a consequence we're quite comfortable with the outcome there. And that might be where we recommend that we stop the project, or it could be that we've got some small bits of maintenance to do. Medium term, I had two emission trading schemes and the liabilities, IS 37. IS 37 because we want to wait for see what the framework shapes up, because I think that will help us solve that one. And emission trading schemes, I think there's still some demand for that, because that we're anticipating eventual growth in the trading schemes. There certainly are some around now, and other countries are talking about them. And then there's the list of the four longer-term ones, extractive income taxes.
First one's three, really, isn't it?
Sorry? First one's three, extractive R&D intangibles. Yeah. And the suggestion there is that we've already had a discussion paper on extractive activities, but people have come to us, particularly from Japan, for example. They're doing some work on research and development. There is a difference between us, US GAAP, on R&D. And I've always argued in some ways, exploring for minerals and thinking about a field and putting money into researching compounds and thinking about a family of compounds for drugs, there are some similarities in there. And I think others see that, and maybe we should step back and try to look more holistically at research development types of activities, whether it's to do with physical research or whether it's to do with something like the pharmaceutical industry. And so it's a big issue, it's a longer term thing, and try to get a bit more progress. But those longer term, don't expect there would be a major discussion paper within the next 2 years or so. But my problem is, if we don't do something on it, we'll sit here in 2 or 3 years' time and say, we've done nothing, we've got made no progress.
But so how can you work in within two years and then not even produce a discussion
paper? Well, by discussion, what we can do is, emission trading schemes maybe not is what we probably ought to have done. We actually did some really good work in documenting emission trading schemes around the world. We probably should have published that work.
No, but I'm talking about the longer term.
It's the same thing. I think we can do some work on documenting some of the problems around income taxes, post-employment benefits, and so on. Whether we put out a full discussion paper suggesting perhaps a new accounting direction, or whether we put out some research papers documenting what we're finding, then you actually make some advances without necessarily asking for major changes in accounting. So we've got to work out what to do with those deliverables. But I think that doing nothing isn't quite right, but we've then got to be very careful. What I don't want to do is produce 14 discussion papers and ask for feedback from the community on those.
Yeah.
Alan, I think first it's really good to take our research agenda, and before we just start moving everything forward, to do this kind of exercise, and prompted a lot of thoughts, and I think it on my part, and it does I think also maybe get me thinking about what we should be doing, with a view to the agenda consultation being as successful and valuable to us and outsiders as possible. So I think the right kind of thing to do, I wanted to suggest some tuning to it. One is to think about it both internally and externally. And one of the points that you made in this paper is that it isn't to make projects longer or take more time, but actually to front end a significant part of the research so that the actual standard setting is a faster, more efficient process. But that implies that this research fade actually front ends a very significant amount of work. And I think that has implications from our side about both staff and board resources and time in terms of making sure that it's it's answering what our objective is for this. And then the second is external. Even if we could deliver progress on all of these, because I, for the most part, agree with your assessments of how long it will take to do some of these things, I think we'll absolutely hit consultation fatigue if we aren't straining at it already with our stakeholders. And even if you look at the first five, this implies that we're planning to issue five major discussion papers in the next 12 months. And I think the prospects of getting thoughtful input on five is low, especially if they're what are described in this document as not only scoping the issue, but identifying potential responses, what kind of standard setting activity we might take and asking people to evaluate the merits of those. That's pretty badass. So, when I think about it from a project management perspective, I say, I think probably the system, internal and external, can cope with is three major discussion papers in the next 12 months. And based on the analysis you did, and I think the page, one project per page, stop and say what's involved is a good way to look at it. I'll give you my three, which are the disclosure initiative, business combinations under common control, and rate regulated. And then I think for the rest of them, I think what we should be saying is something along the lines of, we've got an agenda consultation that's due to kick off 2015. We want to do more work to better inform both the questions we pose and the responses we get to that agenda consultation. And so the work on the other projects won't necessarily be the kind of what we are now formalizing as our research phase, with the objective of building it out to defining the problem, identifying possible solutions, asking for it, but doing more the kind of thing you've done that says, why has this been raised? What do we think the issues are? How might we approach it? Not to ask people to respond to that in the agenda consultation, how should you fix it, but to give them better basis for commenting on what they think our priorities should be. And then the last thing that I'd say about this list and how we approach it is, I think you'd suggested in terms of the criteria that the speed with which we think we can advance it impacts the assessment of the priority. And that's one where I wobbled a bit with your assessment, because while post-employment benefits didn't make my top three list, I think you're absolutely right to say it will be longer term before we could possibly hit a milestone, even if it's our top priority. And I think that even if it is one of our top priorities, we shouldn't not work on it just because we think it's going to take a couple of years. So I think that, and it's maybe the expression of it in this paper, but I think the how fast could we deliver something shouldn't be part of the prioritization. It should be part of, as you say, put together the portfolio. So
it would be a reason to work extra hard on it.
If it's a top priority. But bottom line is, I think we should identify at most three discussion papers that we're aiming for by the end of 2015. I think that's as much as we can push into the system with some of the other things we're running and get meaningful input. And if it's three, I think all this supports us trying to say, where should we focus our efforts? With respect to the rest of them, it's not down pens and do nothing. But I think with a view to the agenda consultation coming up, what can we do to better inform everybody about what the scale is, the initial assessment of things? If, let's say, we get far enough with the internal work on discount rates to be able to say staff's initial view is to not progress further, fine, but I think it offers us an opportunity for closure. So I don't want to say, here's what our objective is for the research phase, and let's tell the world, I don't think we could deliver it, but tell the world to expect, six or seven discussion papers in the next 15 months.
Ray Gold?
My general comments is the whole program is too ambitious, too much, too many projects. And I think the paper already outlines, demand and all resources and others. It's hard to say or hard to deny people put question to us, we say no, you know, there's no need. But the question mainly for us is the ability. Ability can be described into two terms. One is whether we have enough resources. And personally, you know, as a board members, I feel hard to, you know, keep going so many things and give very high quality comments to the any documents. Also give high quality discussions during the board discussion or discussion with the staff. And this is one side. And as a board member, I feel hard to tackle all these. And also the staff side also have the limitation. And another ability is we have to keep in mind, is there any possibilities we can reconcile, particularly in some of the so controversial area? And if we said, well, we want to do, but by the end, you know, it's so hard, and it seems we waste our time. And so based on the assessment of my own understanding of ability, I question, you know, all of the three major areas. First, I not fully understand what short-term, medium, and long-term means. You know, one interpretation is, you know, short-term means we will only start projects within 1 or 2 years of those projects. But it seems not so clear. Yesterday we discussed about 19, and it looks like we will start 19 now.
Short-term is 5 years in our world. And
what? 5 years start? No. My question is, 5 years start or 5 year finish? It's not so clear. And secondly, the scope. And most of the project in this list, I have not so have no clear ideas, the scope. And then, you know, it relates to the ability, whether we can finish or not. And certainly the outcome. You know, original ideas why we need the research project was raised by Steve, I always say so. It's because we fell before the David left, and we suspend more than 10 projects. And then Steve said, you know, we have to have great ideas to research first, and then decide whether we want to put into a standard setting process. But it appears to me, particularly from a few projects like regulatory activity and others, it looks like we are preparing or expected to have several versions of research products in terms of ask for information, in terms of pure staff views, or in terms of DP, maybe several, you know, round of DP. And it will be endless journey.
Well, so that was partially at your instigation, I believe.
Pardon?
In terms of rate regulation, that's what you wanted.
I don't want it. I don't want it. So now, with all these things not so clear, I conclude we should have a short list rather than long list.
Darryl?
I understand the point Wago's making, but I take the opposite view from, or I draw the opposite view from what he was saying about the long list. I'd always thought of, or I think of the research process as a process that I won't quite say absolves the board from taking responsibility, but it allows the responsibility to be resolved outside so that the research is done in order to provide us with sufficient information to decide what we want to take onto the agenda. And I think that kind of contextualizing of the research agenda almost obliges us to consider everything that comes in, or to consider most of what comes in the door. I think we need to look at this and say that there is not an inherent assumption that every single thing that goes through research will become part of the agenda.
And if it's only discussion paper.
Absolutely. If it's only 50% of the stuff that's coming on here and we expect this to deliver over the next 3 years, that's not an awful lot of stuff for the board to be taking on. And it's a lot of stuff for us to be saying no to. And to take your view, Hans, if it then takes us 5 years to deliver on a project after that, we are talking about quite a long-term set of deliverables in terms of it. So I think
that was an ironic comment. I was hoping that could be avoided.
3 to 5 years. But I think the big point for me is that I think that the research process has to take responsibility for all the big things people are telling us they need to do it. I think because of the volume, and maybe this is the first time we've really started to look at the whole universe of everything we're taking on, maybe there are a few things more on here than we would normally expect them to be. So it does make sense to have this prioritizing spreading over time. But I would be very nervous to simply ditch something from the research agenda before we've at least gone through that initial research phase and decided whether it's actually worth keeping on or not.
Stephen?
I would differentiate between priority and timing. I think priority is how many staff we allocate to it, when we allocate staff to it, how important is the project to get going quickly. Timing, I think, depends upon both that and the complexity of the project. And you may find that some are high priority, but they're going to take a long while, and vice versa. So I'm not sure that just having short, medium term, long term is right. I think the short term is less than 1 year, medium term is 1 to 2, and then 2 to 3 is overly ambitious. But I think it's the key question is prioritization of staff.
Just one very quickly, part of the short, medium, long is to try and make sure that you see that not all of these projects are going to come and take outside constituent time or board time as well. A lot of this will be, you know, because one of the issues here is that, you know, I understand we only have so much capacity at the table, the ability to read all the papers and swamping outside parties, so we've got to manage that. And the idea is to get this sort of the research R&D function going, and then we only feed out what we know there's capacity to feed out, and but in the right priority order. But tough. Some of these things just take care of themselves. You might not have the right person to do the project, so something else feeds out.
A thought that comes to my mind when I read that read this paper was, do we really need an agenda consultation? I mean, we've got more than enough on our plate.
But agenda consultation is about not what could you possibly work on, but what does the world want to tell us about relative priorities? And well, that's why
this is all resulting still from the previous agenda consultation. I'm sure the outside world's priorities haven't changed all that much. We can, you know, give it another public round, but I really wonder whether it will lead to significantly different opinions from the outside world. Mm-hmm. So that, I think, what that says is, what that means is that we should have a very modest agenda consultation. We don't want to overburden the outside world. Amaru?
I think it's first of all, I think it's excellent for us to inform it about this and have this general view of what's going on in terms of research. My comments are aligned with Stephen's comment. I think dividing between short and medium and longer term, this could even provide a wrong message to the outside world, because then comes questions about expectations and when this is going to be solved. Then I see some here, for instance, the foreign currency translation and inflation. If people outside see this as short term, they will think, well, they will go to solve this, and this is surely not easy to solve. So things like that. I agree with Steve, something in terms of prioritization.
Both letters.
Yeah.
That's and certain.
Yeah. And another aspect, I think, well, there are two aspects here on listing these research projects and describing a little bit to the outside world. One is the benefit of being clear about the research phase in terms of issues that you are interested in, and then gathering attention and material from the outside world. The potential challenge is how to manage the expectation that this would create, because then we will have potentially some regions in the world trying to pressure us. And for this, I think the agenda consultation will play a role, because then we can potentially manage this expectation in terms of priorities at the end of the day. So I think it's important. I agree with Mary. There are some projects that we are already in the phase for discussion paper, and too many discussion papers cannot be the right incentive, particularly this year, because we have IFRS 9, we have recent RevReg. I guess many people that could provide very good insights and comments are potentially involved in the learning process in this newly issued standards as well. But I think it's excellent. We think we have to communicate maybe in a more or a less expectation figure here.
Ian? Yeah, I generally agree with those comments. I think we have to hear what people say. We have to work out to manage our process, and that was Steve's point on managing resources. But I think one of the major things, and Alan's written in here to publish it on our website and the like, is managing expectations. And I think having 7 as short term, I know you spelled out that short term doesn't necessarily mean this or that, but people will just look and expect something in a year or so. And so whatever we put on the website, we've got to be very careful that people actually read it all and understand exactly what we mean by the categorizations.
Sue?
Further to what Hans said, also building on something Mary said, I think that the reality is going to be a little bit like our last agenda consultation. The agenda's already full, but I guess where we can use the agenda consultation is to try and get an idea of whether we've prioritised things in the way that people would like to see us prioritise them, and the more that we can indicate the sort of scope we're thinking about and potential solutions, the more information they've got to help us with that. Just reacting, there's a lot on here, but just reacting to the shortlist that Mary came up with, which I think excluded equity method and FICE from the first list of 5, I'm not sure that I'd agree with that, because I think that we've got some of these things that are more, I'd think of them as sort of aspirational, like rate regulation, where we're trying to think about a whole new area that where we have a gap in our literature now. But things like equity method and FICE, we've got questions here where our interpretations committee can't answer questions because our literature is so difficult to apply. And we've sort of got to a point in some cases where it's sort of stalemate in terms of telling people the answers to the real application questions they've got. And so I think those projects which are sort of, maybe rethink things broadly, but also have quite an aspect of let's get our thinking clear so we can maintain things properly. It's really important for people out there actually using our standards, and I don't think we should lose sight of that.
Without necessarily necessitating a
overall. Huge, maybe we do something narrow in scope, but I think that we at least have to start doing that.
Stephen?
I presume not all of these will necessarily lead to a discussion paper. Are we contemplating alternative types of papers, so a staff research paper, for example?
Personally, I think that's the way to go, because if I can go right down to the bottom of the list, some of the things, it would be quite helpful, I think, in some cases, like income taxes or extractive activities. I just outlined that maybe I think of extractive R&D and intangibles more holistically, while having a relatively short staff paper that goes on the website. You don't invite formal feedback on it, but it's there. And you, if people want to provide informal feedback, you do some. You take it to ASAF, because ASAF are very interested in the research agenda, get some feedback from there. Then it helps feed into it without actually going out and saying to everybody that we want formal feedback and comment letters and comment letter analysis and so on. So that's the sort of thing you can do there. I think the other thing too, emission trading schemes. First thing we're looking at doing is documenting the schemes and getting help from national standard setters and others. And again, we might not look for much feedback from that, but that actually gives us another base from which we can then build in terms of thinking about accounting. So I think we can have a variety of issues in here. Some might be higher level, some might be much narrower discussion papers, and others are more factual.
Try to come to a conclusion on this paper. I think what one point that was well made by Stephen and also by others is that timeliness in itself should not be a factor in deciding whether something is a priority or not, because it can be extremely important, extremely difficult. You know, it's going to take you 4 years. All the more reason to make it a priority. But I think that if you take that out of the equation, that still the list will not look very different. I think I've heard basic agreement with the priority or the division in short term versus medium and longer term that you have proposed. Except that we all know that we have to manage expectations, that short-term doesn't mean short-term results. Well, you've made it very clear in bold letters that there are some shorter-term projects which is really less certain that it will lead to a standard change. How would you like to go about this in terms of publishing, and well, this has been published, of course, but
well, the paper. So I think that the biggest thing is how we publish it on the website in terms of building expectations on there, and that probably, and this is the real difficulty, because sometimes you have to peek ahead and anticipate what you might be publishing next. And I think the point I think is that if you just list these, there's almost, you look at that and go, oh, it's a lot of standards coming. Well, it might not even be a lot of discussion papers. If we can try and give our best estimate of what we think the likely next step is and where we are in the process, then people can see, because it might well be for BizCom under common control, you know, we've got two points there. We don't know whether it's just IPOs, which is the issue from IOSCO. Emerging economies, we think, is a different issue. That's the transition. We think that's, without going to the technical debate, we think that's an IFRS 1 issue, and we think we might be able to manage that through better education material. So if that's the outcome we get to, we're going to end up with quite a narrow scope issue, and so it's not going to be as burdensome. But it's a bit tricky to explain all that.
We're looking at project management. This is a very good candidate for severe project management. Could the next project be sort of a project scheme and intermediate steps, intermediate outcomes, final outcomes?
Well, the trouble is that you get to branches and you don't know which branch you're going to go down because haven't got enough information to make a decision on left or right. So we're backwards.
At least for the ones that we are considering short term, I think we should.
Hans, one other thought reacting to something Alan said before, and it's what are we asking outsiders to input on and when? You know, Alan, you talked about putting something up, not a formal request for comment, but people could, of course, offer comments this time. I think one of the things we have to remember is if you go to people and say, do you think it's worth working on this, with any one project, let's say, yes, probably, I've seen some problems. I think and if we drip feed, we don't force people to we don't force ourselves or others to make the choice of which one would you prioritize. So that, well, I think getting information over a period of time is helpful. From time to time, we have to stop and say, okay, in essence, virtually get everybody into the room and say, face off with which are the collective responsibilities. Otherwise, we're inviting one region to lobby for this one to the other, and we feel like we have to satisfy everybody rather than saying we have to make some choices. So while I think your get input along the way idea has value in terms of helping our thinking develop, I think at some point we have to stop and say.
I would suggest that we make for ourselves now a project scheme with outputs, clear outputs, and that will have already a disciplining factor. Then we're going to have another agenda consultation with this as the basis, I would say. What would you like to add? What would you like to bear to continue to be there? What would you like to be different? But that is a later moment. I think the most important thing now is for us to have a very clear working scheme. This is a good beginning, but I think it needs more detail and more discipline. And we can put it on the website. It will serve to discipline ourselves and also to create very clear expectations to the outside world. Is that a good conclusion for this meeting?